Hey, and talk. My name is Jared. I met a lot of you last week, and I know you guys are learning my name. I'm learning all of yours, and they're beautiful names. Just please don't be offended if I mess it up. Give me a little bit of time, but I had a great weekend. How many of you guys had a good weekend? How many of you guys slept in until like just before church started this morning? Yeah. So yesterday, I'm super stoked because I got to go to my very first Sounders game. People are like, eh. Oh, okay. Do we not like soccer? Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. I love going to the Mariners. My goal is to go to a Seahawks game. It's super hard to get tickets for that. But I got to go to the Sounders game with my wife, and I got to sit next to Ryan Mauerreiter, who's a stud. He's a rock star. But I was watching this game, and this is what I love to do. This is a little secret about me. When I go to the Mariners game or at the Sounders, I like to get fries. I don't just like to get regular fries. I like to get garlic fries. Yeah! They're the bomb. I love them. So good. And I buy these fries, and my wife and I are going to sit down. She looks at me. She's like, what did you do? I'm like, what do you mean? I got the garlic fries. And she says, you promised me. I'm like, what? That you would never buy garlic fries when you and I go to a game together. Again, I'm like, I did? Oh, that's right. And I kept on eating the garlic fries because I love it so much. I was like, okay, this is the last time, babe. This is the last time. So I apologize to you today if we're like talking and hanging out and like there's a garlic aroma. It's not me. It's all good. But I told her, and my wife just totally called me out. She's like, you promised me, Jared. You promised me that you were going to do that. And so I said, okay, next time we go to the game, I won't do it. But I don't like to be called out. I'm that guy in school that if I'm in class, I remember in high school, like if I knew like the answers to stuff, I was like, yeah, call me, teacher. You can call me out. But how many of you guys, if you do not know what the teacher's talking about or what's going on, you're like, do not talk to me. Or like, you're the back row behind the tall kid, just like slumping down in your chair. In college, we had this class called anthropology. And I learned when I got there, it's like the study of people. And it was a really weird class because my teacher was a total hippie. And not that that's wrong, okay? It's cool. That's cool. But she had like a braid down to her ankle. I mean, just like, that's long hair. But she's talking. And in this class, I had no idea what was going on. I hated being called out. I hated having to sit there and go through all this stuff. And so I would go to class. And in college, I went to WSU, like I told you last week. And so some of the classes, like when you're a freshman, there could be like 100 people in the classroom. My biology class had like 400 people. So I'm like, okay, let's go to like to row 100 and just chill back here. But one day I go there, I'm in the very back row, I'm like, I'm totally safe, I'm not going to get called out on. And she's like, Jared, oh, you know my name, psycho woman. I'm just like, yeah. She's like, she started calling me out, I'm like, what's the Kung song? There's like, we're studying these people, and they're in Africa, and they're like this tribe, and they speak with like clicky sounds, like Kung song. Every time they get clicky sound, Kung, yeah. I don't know, something like that. And she starts calling me out, and I'm like just totally messing everything up. Just total wrong answers. Like all the kids in the front who are like good students are just looking back like, mm-hmm, yeah. Walla Walla kid back there, yeah. And just totally calling me out. I hate it. I hate being called out. If that's anybody else, like just hate being called on. Yeah, I hate being called out when I don't know what's going on. Well, today we're keeping going with this series called Do Something. Do Something. It's week two, and as I was prepping for today, we're going to look at how you and I may hate being called out, you know, wherever called out, like, hey, you got a step up, man, or hey, you suck, you messed up, sucks to suck, you know, you need some help, or like, hey, you just need to be better. I hate being called out. And as I was reading it and prepping for today, I was learning how Jesus called people out all the time. Jesus called people out all the time. You know, when he was talking to the religious people, he's like, hey, religious people, stop being religious. You suck. Or if he would talk to his disciples, hey, disciples, you know, why did you fall asleep? You should be praying with me. You know, last week when Gary was bringing the message, we looked at the disciples, and we looked at how Jesus came to his disciples one day and he called them out. So in your Bibles, we're going to keep looking at a passage of scripture today in Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13. So if why don't you guys follow along with me real quick? This is when Jesus starts calling people out. He says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? Well, you know, they were like, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah come back from the dead, you know, some that's people are saying, and or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Jesus was calling people out. See, in group projects, no one likes a group project in school, right? No. Unless you're the kid who's like, hey, that person's going to do all the work for me. Awesome. Because if you're in a group project and the teacher's like, hey, what's your progress going on? You're just like, man, well, Jimmy Dean over here, the baked bean guy, we're doing good, right? Right, Jimmy, you can like kind of brush it off. Like, yeah, people, and they said, hey, Jesus, yeah, people over here, they're saying this about you. They're saying this. But Jesus says, whoa, who do you say that I am? Jesus starts calling people out. And what I want us to understand this morning is that Jesus wants to call us out. Jesus wants to call us out to be his followers. And there's a couple questions that you and I, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, have to ask ourselves. If we're going to do something, if we're going to do what Jesus has called us to do, a couple questions we've got to ask ourselves. And the first question is this. Who do you say Jesus is? Not who does your mom say Jesus is? Who does your grandma? Who does Gary or Jordan say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? It's not a question that you can skirt around answering. You can't, come to High Point. You can't go any other place. You can't live your life without addressing this question. And I love what Gary said last week. If you guys were here for Easter, that was an awesome Easter service, wasn't it? I mean, we brought in so many chairs in the back. Woo! Was that an awesome Easter service? Jesus is risen! It was such a great time last week, but Gary was talking, he said at the end of his message that when you're asked the question, who do you say Jesus is, there's only three real answers that you can give. And everybody, there's only three of these answers, and you have to be able to answer this question. Either Jesus is a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. So either Jesus was just a person who's like, I want to get famous, I want to be the famous guy in my village, and like, the dirty place I live called Israel, walk around the desert. I want to be famous, and so I'm going to lie, I'm going to make up all this stuff about myself. So either you're like, hey, I think Jesus was a total liar. Or you're like, Jesus was psycho. Wow. I mean, he just got all these people to follow him, and then, he did all this stuff, and he said he did all these things, and he, like, spit in the dirt and rubbed it all over people's eyes. That's just weird. That's like Sumner stuff. That's just weird. That's just different. Or, third option, he's Lord. Or it's either Jesus is crazy, or he's a liar, or he actually is who he says he is. And I love last week when we talked about the resurrection, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he proved that he was who he said he was. We're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But so Jesus says, who do you say I am? And there's a guy named Peter, and he speaks up, and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now remember Peter. We talked about Peter last week. He was one of the disciples of Jesus. He was really passionate. I'm a kind of passionate guy too, and when you channel your passion the right way, you don't get in trouble. But maybe you can be passionate and kind of stupid at the same time. Like, so Peter, he was really excited. He would jump in, he would do things, but he made mistakes. He cut off a guy's ear. He was just so excited when the guys were trying to arrest Jesus. Like, and not excited, kind of like angry, like, I'm going to fight for Jesus. Ah. My first thought is, dude, you missed. You got his ear. Weren't you going for his head? I mean, dude, what kind of bodyguard are you? So that's what I think. But, Peter, he was passionate. He was he would follow Jesus, while all the other guys were scared to get out of the boat. He would get out of the boat and walk on water with Jesus. But, just like us, he struggled with doubt. He struggled with doubt. He was a human guy. This was who Peter was. But he speaks out, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And check this out. Check out Jesus' reply. Matthew 16, starting at verse 17. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say that you are Peter, which means the rock. Not like Dwayne Johnson, the rock, but you are the rock, okay? And on this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, we're going to come back to Peter in a minute, but Jesus says to Peter, hey, you're a passionate guy. You're smart enough, you couldn't have come up with this on your own. That was God, that was my Father, he revealed this to you. And because of that, because you trust in my Father God, I'm going to use you, Peter, you're going to help me, we're going to build my church, we're going to help people come to know me, despite of you. Everybody felt like this, like, Jesus is going to use me despite of me. Like, despite of my failures, despite of my mistakes, Jesus wants to use me. And that's what he did with Peter. We're going to come back to Peter, but I want to talk about church for a second. I love church. High Point's an awesome church. I love it here. I know some of you guys, yeah, whoop, whoop. Do you guys love High Point? You guys love High Point? Yeah. Thank you. It's such an awesome church. And now for many of us, when we think about church, because, you know, Jesus said, hey, Peter, you're on the rock. We're going to build my church. For many of us, we can think about church in a lot of different ways. Like for you, some of you guys, you're like, all you've ever known is High Point. It's cool. You can come in dressed like you want. You know, whether you got holes in your jeans or you can tuck your jeans into your Nike socks and you're just totally like, it's just totally cool. You can just come however you, that's not my style. I'm just going to pull that out right now. Man. No, you can come and you can do that. You can be who you want to be. You can wear plaid. You can wear makeup. You can not wear makeup. You can shower that day. It doesn't matter. It's all good. Now, some of you, maybe you grew up in it. Maybe you had like a church experience where it was like, it's old and the room is 70s orange and most people wear suits. And if you sneeze, even the pastor stops preaching and looks at you. You know, maybe that's the kind of the church experience. You know, we think of church as like places, you know. It's like, oh man, I got to go to church. Some of you guys are like, I'm going to church today. I'm getting here at 8 in the morning. I'm going to be on the setup crew. We're going to have a lot of fun. I love High Point. Or your experience was, I'm going to church today. I got to take communion. I don't even know what that is. You know, you just got to, a lot of us, we have total different church experiences because, you know, we look as we got to go to church today. I'm going to church today. Well, I want to throw something out there real quick is some little truth for us. The church can look a lot of different ways, but the church isn't just a building, guys. And you know, like High Point's not the only church, or like, you know, the church your grandma goes to is not the only church. The church isn't just a building. The church is people, right? The church is us. Maybe you haven't heard that before. Maybe you're like, what? I'm the church? God says, I'm going to build my church. And when you look at the word church in the Bible, it's like a Greek word called ecclesia. I always want to like go Spanish, iglesia, you know, like, but it's called ecclesia. It means a movement. It means a gathering of God's people. It means those who are called out. Jesus likes to call people out. He says, I'm going to build my church, which isn't a building. It's not Emerald Ridge High School. It's not this place. It's a group of my people who I've called out. Jesus wants to build his church and he calls people out. So the church, you and I, guys, we're just a bunch of people who Jesus loves. We're just a bunch of people that God has called out, that he's called to gather together. And you and I, we've answered this question, who is Jesus? We've answered the question, who's Jesus to me? And maybe you're here at High Point this morning and you haven't said, you still think Jesus is crazy, or you think he's a liar. You haven't like realized that Jesus is your Lord yet. And that's totally cool. We're just so excited you're here this morning. You can keep coming. You don't have to run away. It's cool. Everybody's cool here, almost. I'm here now, so no, it's okay, we're all cool. Everybody's awesome here, but we've answered this question, who Jesus is. You know, the church is not a building, it's not a denomination, it's those who've God has called out. And, you know, when we think about, hey, I gotta go to church this Sunday, some of us kind of have this, we got to answer this really important question about church, and it's this. The question is, whose church is it? Whose church is it? Sometimes when we come to church, we're like, hey, this is my church. And it's not like a cool place, like you own it. Like, this is my church. I love my church. I love going to church. It's more like, this is my church. You can't come to my church. You should go to that church where the other people go to church. Or like, you can't come here. This is mine. Or like, I own this. Or like, this is my small group and you can't join my small group. Sometimes we have this attitude of like, not a cool ownership, like I belong here, but like, oh, this is mine, I don't want you to be a part of it. But what did Jesus say about the church? What did Jesus say about the church? He says in verse 18, I will build what church? My church. High Point students, this is Jesus' church. It's not Jordan's church. It's not Zach's church. It's not Michelle's church. It's not McCaitlin's church. It's not Gary's church. It's not Jared's church. It's Jesus. High Point students, we're all about Jesus here. You're not coming here to listen to somebody speak and like worship them. You're coming here to learn about Jesus and worship Jesus. This church belongs to Jesus. And you guys, we, the gathering of God's people, we are what Jesus was all about. Because right after Peter said this and Jesus says, hey, Peter, you're going to be my rock and we're going to build the church. You're going to help people come to know me. He keeps going and says, from this moment on, Jesus started telling everybody, the disciples plainly, that you know what? I'm going to go die. I'm going to go be beaten, the Son of Man, me, God's Son. I'm going to be taken, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die, but I will rise again. Last week on Easter, we celebrated the resurrection. We learned that the resurrection changes everything, right? Jesus rising from the dead, it proves that he is who he said he is, that he would fulfill and fulfill the promises that he said he would do. He was dead, like he said. Then he was alive again, like he said. Mind blown, right? It changes everything. You know, we had the luxury of like looking back. We know the story like, yeah, you know, Jesus was alive. He was with the disciples. And then we know what happened. He got taken. He got beaten. He was killed. And he rose again. The disciples, they didn't have that. They didn't have like the index of the Bible and like be able to look back and like, oh yeah, I remember when this happened. They're in the story. So when Jesus says, hey, I'm going to be taken, I'm going to be beaten, Peter's standing there. Peter, the guy who's really passionate, who really loves God, but he's human, right? He looks at Jesus and he says, no! Don't do that. Peter looks at him and he gets, where is he at? Peter reprimands Jesus. And he says, heaven forbid. That's like a grandma thing. Heaven forbid, Lord. Heaven forbid. But he says, that will never happen to you. So he's like, Jesus, why would you say that? Don't go on saying such foolish things. We don't want you to go die or be beaten. But Jesus says this. Jesus turns to Peter and says, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely, and this is key, lock in on this. Key, you are seeing these things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Now, ouch. Wouldn't that suck? It's like have a mentor, have a friend. Like you just like say something, you think, yeah, I got this. And your mentor, your friend's like, you are Satan. You are dead to me. Get behind me. No, I mean, that's what Peter's like, ah, and you're like, oh, well, I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry. But Jesus just reprimands him because Peter, he sees things through the human point of view. He sees things through the human point of view. And this is the thing. We do the same thing. Every single one of us in this room, we see things not often through the way God sees them, not the way that Jesus would want us to see them, but we see things through our human eyes, through our understanding, through our emotion. And this is what's scary about the human view. The human point of view says, man, something's scary. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to step out of my comfort zone. Human point of view says, yeah, I know that God wants me to go this way or God wants me to follow him here, but that looks dangerous. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stay right here and let somebody else do that. Human point of view gives into your fears. Human point of view gives into your struggles and addictions. Human point of view says that you're not good enough. That's what the human point of view does. And just like me, just like Peter, we've all lived that way. I've been a high school student. I've been a college student. I've been a junior higher. It's hard. And when we live through our own perspective, we're constantly dealing with the lies like, I'm not good enough. Why could God ever love me? You know, I've totally messed up. I can't do that. And Peter, he lives in this, right? He lives in this. He lives in this human point of view, like, I'm not good enough. And he's scared, right? Why would he say, hey, Jesus, don't go and be killed? Because that's scary, right? Jesus, why would you say those things? Peter, you keep reading on in the Bible, yeah, he did good things, you know, before Jesus was crucified. But this same Peter who struggled with a human point of view kept struggling with that for a while. Jesus gets arrested. Jesus, he gets taken away. Peter tries to be cool, and he misses, right? Remember, he cuts off the ear. He misses the target. And he goes, and he starts following Jesus around, but he's so scared and so freaked out because he can only see things through his human point of view that when people say, hey, Petey, right? You're with Jesus. You're a follower of Jesus. And he's like, no. Nah, not me, bro. Not me. He gets asked again a second time. You're with Jesus. We saw you. He's like, no, it's not me. I swear. Because he's freaked out. He doesn't want to be arrested. He doesn't want to be killed. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He gives in to the human fear. And a third time, this lady, he's like, you're with Jesus. And he starts freaking out. No, I wasn't. I promise. You know, on my dead great-grandma's grave and the poodle that she loved. No, I'm not. I don't know who Jesus is. And he just denies Jesus three times. He gave in to his fear. He saw things from his human point of view rather than God's point of view. He was being led by himself, by his human point of view. I got a question for you guys. We got to ask ourselves this question. Who leads in my life? Who leads in my life? In your notes, who leads in my life? Because Peter, he was led by his emotions. He was led by his fears. Rather than being led by his desire to follow the Son of God, he was led by himself, led by his human desires. He wasn't led by Jesus. And that question we got to ask ourselves is, who leads in my life? Are we led by our emotions? Are we ruled by our fears and our circumstances, our desires? Are you ruled? Do you make decisions based on how you feel about your past? Do you make decisions based on you're afraid of what your friends will think about you? Who leads in my life? These are all the questions that God's asking us to answer. Who leads in my life? Peter had to come to a point, guys, because as we looked about last week, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. He was crucified. He was dead and buried. He rose from the grave. Jesus appeared to his disciples again. Peter sees him, and Peter knows he's messed up, and he jumps, as Gary said, like naked out of the boat, and like swims over to Jesus, and you know, and they reconcile. Jesus forgives him there, and Peter starts following him again. Peter came to a point where he had to say, I'm not going to be led by myself anymore. I'm going to be led by Jesus. Because obviously the resurrection, right, it changed everything. Jesus rose from the dead. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's Lord, right? He proved it. He proved it. He rose from the grave. I got to follow this guy. And Peter comes to a point that every single one of us have to do, and we have to make a choice to say, who's going to lead in my life? He decided, Peter said, I'm not going to be led by my fears anymore. I'm not going to be led by my circumstances. I'm not going to be led by my habits or my addictions. I'm going to be led by Jesus. So the same Peter, we can't talk about Peter. Everybody always talks about Peter and all the bad stuff Peter did. Like, oh, Peter, he stepped out of the boat, you know, to follow Jesus on the water. And then he sank because he had no faith. Dang it, stupid Peter. But nobody else got out of the boat. So Peter was awesome, right? We got to talk about something that awesome that Peter did. So Peter, he walks through this whole thing. Jesus rises from the dead. He's alive for a while. He's hanging out with the disciples. Jesus goes back to heaven. And remember, Jesus had called him out, and he says, you're my church. I'm going to use you. Peter, the mess up, the guy who wasn't perfect, the guy who was led by himself, his human desires, his human nature, this same Peter, Jesus would use him to do what Jesus promised. And he said, I'm going to use you to help build up my church, to help people like us here today come to know me. So Peter, you know, Peter, what he would do, he would go and he would preach in the temple. Like, he would go with other disciples and they would start, hey, you need to know Jesus. You guys have been waiting for the Messiah, the Savior to come. Hey, you Jews, remember, you crucified Jesus, you missed it. So catch out this quick story I want to read to you guys. Peter came to this point where he said, you know what, I'm not going to be led by myself, my emotions, my fears, I'm going to be led by Jesus. And in Acts 15, 17 through 20, this is what happens. The high priest and the officials, they were called Sadducees. They were filled with jealousy because Peter's going around. He's saying, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to know God except through Jesus. So don't be dumb. Follow Jesus. And the religious people, they're mad, right? They said they arrested the apostles, meaning the disciples. They put them in the public jail. So they're in jail. They're chilling there. They're probably chained up. They're probably very discouraged. But I love this. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people the message of life. So Peter, he's in prison. He's been arrested for preaching about Jesus. And then an angel comes. It was dark in the prison. Okay. Just setting the mood, right? So an angel comes and he releases them. Now, if you and I were like in prison for something, like a lot of us would just be like, okay, I'm escaped now. I'm done. I'm not doing whatever I did that got me back in prison. I mean, I'm beyond scared straight. I'm not going back in there. I'm free. But Peter's like, man, this angel busted me out. I'm going back. So he goes back the next day, and they're preaching in the temple. So at verse 21, so at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. Now, so they're teaching, they're in the temple, they're doing their thing, people are coming to know Jesus. All the while, the religious people, they're coming back for the day, coming back to work, and the high priest and his officials, they arrive, they convene their high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and then they said, hey, go get the apostles out of the jail. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. They returned to the council and reported, the jail was securely locked. I just imagine the head jailer, who's in charge, like, he's not supposed to lose people locked in his jail. It was locked, and they're not there. I'd be scared for my life. You know, back in those days, they would just kill you for anything. I mean, you screwed up, all right, you're done. But he says, you know, so the captain of the temple guards and leading priests heard this. They were like, what happened? Then someone arrived with the startling news. Hey, Those guys who were in prison yesterday, they're outside. And so, like, you imagine the priests are just like, okay, let's go get them again. Round them up. So they go and they arrest them again. The captain with his two guards arrested the apostles, but they were kind of freaked out. They didn't want to have any violence, so they were afraid the people would stone them. They brought the apostles before the high council where the high priest confronted them. Didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man's name? Meaning Jesus. Instead, you filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for killing him, for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human authority. See, Peter, he answered the question. He answered the question, who's Jesus? He realized, hey, Jesus is Lord. He realized that, you know what? This thing called the church, it's not about me. It's never about me. It's about Jesus. It's his church. And he came to the point in his life where he said, you know what? I've got to let Jesus lead. He said, Jesus is lead. And he said, you know what? He said to the religious people, we must obey God rather than human authority. Because Peter spent way too much of his life listening to human authority, worried about what his friends would think, worried about people would think. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him, nailing him to a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. And we're witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit who God has given to us. Peter made a decision that Jesus would lead his life, right? That Jesus would lead his life. That he would follow. God had called him out. He said, hey, Peter, come follow me. He said, Peter, hey, who do you say I am? Peter, I'm going to make you the rock. You're going to do good things for me. Peter said, you know, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something. I'm going to follow God rather than follow people. To let Jesus lead, Peter had to answer one more important question. Whose team am I on? Whose team am I on? Whose team am I on? Now, some of us could be like the churchy thing, like, yeah, like, man, am I on the world's team, like the enemy Satan's team, or I'm with Jesus? And I think, when I think about this question, whose team am I on? I immediately answer this question myself. Am I on the team of me or Jesus? Do I do and do I live out what's best for me because I think it's safe or that's, you know, it's comfortable or what I know? Am I all about making sure that I'm okay? Or am I about Jesus? Am I on the team of Jesus? Am I going to follow this God who loved me, who died for me? Who it doesn't matter what I've done or how I've messed up, he died for me. If I was the only screw up on the planet, he still would have gone to the cross and died for me. That's who Jesus is. So Peter answered this question. And just like Peter, we got to decide, you know what? I'm going to obey God and what God says for me to do with my life rather than what I want to do, rather than what somebody else tells me to do. Because if what somebody else tells me to do or what I want to do isn't what God wants me to do, chances are it's going to be terrible in comparison to what Jesus has for me. So this morning, I want to challenge you guys. Have you answered that question? Have you answered that question, who is Jesus? Before you can answer any of the other questions, if you can decide if you're on his team, if you can decide whether you're going to lead your life, if you're going to decide to be part of his church, you got to ask the question, who's Jesus? And just like we said earlier, if you haven't answered that question yet, that's okay. That's okay. That's what we're here to do, to help you guys answer the question. If you guys want to get in group life and come and wrestle with that question, hey, who's Jesus? What did he do? Why does he love me? That's a great question. I used to say, God, why does Jesus love me? Come talk about that. Why did Jesus die for you? So tonight, it's not even noon yet. We're going to end our time kind of talking this morning. I want you guys to pull out your comm card. If you haven't filled this out yet, go ahead and fill it out. And on the back of this card, you can check things off. You're like, hey, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. You know, I want to help figure out my next step. If you want to think, hey, what's my next step to helping me answer this question about who Jesus is? Check that off. We want to know. We want to get you guys plugged into a group life. We're going to take our offering right now. I'm going to pray for our offering.